Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin here on this Monday. The Titans get the win yesterday at Nissan Stadium. We say hello now to former Titans punter Brett Kern, who's on the line with us. Brett, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Already hit the dentist up this morning. 7 a.m. teeth cleaning, so I got my morning, my Monday, fresh off turkey week break. Kids are back at school. Good morning so far.
That's a productive morning.
So that's how the other half lives out there. Got it. Writing that down right now.
That's right. And it was great. I didn't have to worry about a weigh-in this year. Retired now. I didn't have to, Thanksgiving, you want to be able to enjoy, what the wife cooks, what's presented in front of you. And then, sometimes you have that weigh-in on Friday morning just kind of lurking over your head. So I know there's probably a good chance that the steam room, the sauna are very popular places on Fridays post-Thanksgiving in NFL locker rooms.
Yeah, that is for sure. Titans get the win yesterday. You and I were texting throughout the game and used the phrase, that's what happens when you play complimentary football. Mike Vrabel talked about that in his post-game press conference. And I feel like we saw that. The offense did their part. Yeah, it was only 17 points, but it was enough. The defense had the turnover. They had four sacks. They did their part in special teams as well. I in particular, really liked that sequence at the end of the first half where they're able to get the Nick Folk field goal. What did you see on that and overall from the win yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially that first half, with complimentary football, that's huge. Anytime you can flip the field position, get them pinned down there, and especially an offense like Carolina. I mean, I kind of feel like Carolina and Tennessee are kind of mirrored in a sense of you have your quarterback, but your kind of the weapons around him, or maybe the offensive line isn't going kind of as you want it to. So, if you keep pinning them deep, the odds of them going that full length, right, is not going to happen very often. So they did a great job pinning them deep. Obviously, the strip sack, Big Jeff had a heck of a game yesterday picking it up. And then you're giving your offense a short field, you score, and then the same thing, your defense comes out at the end of the half or right before the half, and you go out there, you stop them, you make them punt, you go down clock, boom, execution. Nick Folk goes out there, drains a 50-plus yard field goal, and now you get points. That's 10 points really off complimentary football when you're playing a team like Carolina who's struggling offensively, right? I mean, that's all it took.
So on the sidelines, and, they talked about this during the Titans game. We saw this during the Eagles and Bills game, and in that one in particular, Romo was talking about that you have your Mayday package where you don't have a timeout and you got to get the field goal unit out there as quickly as possible. How much are you guys talking about that on the sideline if that scenario comes up, and how crazy can that be?
Yeah, what's crazy is that's probably the one thing on special teams that we practice consistently every Saturday at walkthrough, hurricane operation, down clock, those two things, because that's a situation that you can easily mess up, right? I've seen it before where the offensive line is coming off the field and they run into the field goal team unit that's coming out and it takes off 3-4 seconds because guys aren't coming off the field the right way. And next thing you know, they don't get the field goal off in time. And so it's a situation that I know Coach Vrabel, we practiced it every single Saturday at walkthrough, hurricane, down clock. And it's something that even, during the game you're talking about with the special teams coordinator, sometimes the assistant coordinator, with the kicker, with, the punter, the snapper, you're all in communication. Like, hey, we have one timeout. We're still good. We're good. Now there's no timeouts. Hey, alert hurricane. And then when it's under, some teams, they say 15 seconds, some are 17 seconds. It kind of depends on where you're at. There's a time where it's like, okay, hurricane, you can't execute this play. And so now it becomes, okay, now it's in the offense's hands. What are they going to do, right? You're going to waste time, throw it out of bounds. Just obviously there's a lot that can go on, but that's a play that, and I only had to do it once in my whole career, 15 years. I only had one hurricane, but it was definitely a play that I practiced the most.
Talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern this morning. Brett, what's funny is that, the Titans been a team like the Panthers, who we know were terrible, But, you know, fans make me laugh because they're like, big win, but, you know, you should have beat that team. I mean, right, never apologize for a win, correct, no matter who you're playing.
Absolutely not. Last time I checked, I don't think Tiger Woods apologized for, you know, maybe spraying a tee shot to the right, hitting one under the trees to 5 feet and getting a birdie, and then said, hey, you know what? I really didn't deserve that birdie after that tee shot. So you know what? Just give me a par, right? That kind of feels what I should have got. No, absolutely not, right? And so a win's a win. I don't care who you're playing, like whether it's Carolina or, you know, a team that's, you know, you go to Arrowhead and you get a win. Like, it's just a win's a win, and you take them because it's so hard to win on Sundays, no matter who you're playing, because really the talent difference. Between you're looking at Philly's roster and Carolina's roster, there's obviously a difference. But really, you know, if Carolina goes out and they have enough talent, enough pieces that if things go their way, some bounces. I mean, you look at one of Jalen's passes yesterday, tipped, boom, Buffalo interception, great field position, right? You never know when those bounces are going to go your way or they don't go your way, right? Detroit, right, on Thanksgiving. I never, with the fumbles that Jared Goff had, right? So I just, you know, you never know. And so that's why a win's a win. You take it when you take it.
You know, the Panthers this morning, I don't know if you heard, they fired Frank Reich this morning after the loss to the Titans. You haven't been on a team where a head coach was fired in the middle of the season, but there have been coaches let go. Who? Yeah, Wisenhunt. Yeah, my bad. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I was more thinking of the coordinator part of this because sometimes coordinators get let go here and there. What's it like, you know, okay, when Wisenhunt got fired, what was it like? How did you find out? What was the mood like after that?
I could see the locker room was probably – I mean, Wiz had a year under his belt, and then going into the next season was just kind of a disastrous start as well. So Frank was obviously – and the owner in Carolina, Taper, he just fired the coach of Charlotte FC, right? The guy's been the coach for 2 years, almost got to the playoffs, and he canned him. So obviously he's quick to pull the trigger. And, you know, you feel for somebody like Bryce Young because here you are, you have all these expectations as – a number one pick, and then now I'm going to have a new coach, probably going to have a new coordinator, and that starts the cycle of, it's really, really hard to get out of, right, because you're trying to get consistency at that position, and when you start firing guys left and right, it becomes a disaster for them. So it's weird. Obviously, you know, during the middle of the season, it's just, you know, you come in, and it's amazing how fast they can clean out, you know, a whole coach's office, right, because you know, the head coach, he's got a pretty decked out office, right? There's a lot of things on the walls and on the shelves and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, you walk in and it's, you know, I remember when Wiz got fired, I think I came in at 7:30 in the morning to get in the hot tub and cold tub, and his locker or his office was already clean. And so it's just crazy how fast that can happen. But, you know, I mean, it's just it's part of the business.
When that something like that happens, like when Wisenhunt was fired, I mean, is it immediately the guys start talking, you start conversing, you're like, oh, what in the world's going on? And after that, did Mularkey just have a meeting and say, here's what's happening then? I mean, because I got to think the time is of the essence when something like that happens in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it happened on a Monday, obviously this morning, so that's a lot of time between probably your first team meeting on Wednesday. But I remember when Wiz got fired, I was in the cold tub and hot tub. I remember talking to Luke Stalker, who's, you know, now on staff now at Vrabel, and he was saying, gosh, man, I really hope, you know, they give it to Mularkey because I love him. He's a great coach. I think he'd do a great job of finishing the season out. I think he'd actually have a chance of getting the job come time for, you know, whenever they do interviews. So there's definitely chatter, and you know who finishes out the season obviously is probably going to be somebody on your staff, which is fine. But then the talk already then becomes, okay, well, who are they going to bring in next year? Right, here's another coaching change. Roster turnover is, you know, 50%. You know, when there's a coaching change, and I think guys definitely, you know, there's a lot of talk, and guys get nervous, and because you know your job's at stake whenever there's a new coach coming in.
Brett Kern is with us. What did you think about Will Levis, and how would you evaluate him to this point as the Titans' starting quarterback?
Well, I mean, I think he's your quarterback of the future for sure, and I think it's just a matter of how can you build around him? What are the pieces that you can put in place to help him be what he is, right? I mean, some of the throws he makes are unbelievable. I mean, he missed, you know, D-Hop open on one. He missed actually D-Hop on a couple times, you know, and he had that screen where he kind of pump fake the screen and Burns jumped up, and I thought he was going to pick it off, actually. But so there's still, you know, some growing pains a little bit here and there that he's going to work out. He's going to figure them out, right? But some of the throws he makes, I just sidearm, you know, he moves his feet well. Honestly, when he goes out there, like, he wants to win, and you can see it. And he's willing to do whatever it takes. And so I think the important thing is how can you build around him? Because if this is your guy, obviously you have him cheap for the next 2 to 3 years potentially. So how do you take advantage of that, right, with all the cap space that they got? And, you know, watching – I had the YouTube TV split screen yesterday, so I was able to watch Jacksonville and Houston play along with the Titans in Carolina, and just seeing, you know, what Houston's done in a sense of – I mean, they potentially have, you know, 2 Pro Bowl – tackles, right, and the weapons that they have around CJ Stroud, right, it's making a huge difference. And so I think the Titans just need to find the weapons and the pieces to be able to protect them, because he's your guy for the future.
Well, real quick before we let you go, you and I were also talking about this. Jake Elliott hits the 59 yarder to tie it to force overtime, a wild one between Philadelphia and Buffalo yesterday. That is not an easy situation to be in, even as it's the holder with the rain and everything there in Philly yesterday.
Oh, man. I wish I could. I should have gone back and deleted that text that I sent you. the percentage chance of hitting that field goal, extremely low. But he, man, he hit that, like, low stinger kind of golf shot. And that thing, he played the wind perfectly, a little left to right. And I'm sure that the field conditions were not great up there, but he is, you know, I remember just being up there with him last year, and I told him, I was like, man, for how good you are kicking in this stadium, I said, you need to go to Mr. Jeff's office and say, hey, you need a pay raise, right? So he was clutch. That's a clutch kick, and he's one of the best.
Yeah, it was awesome for sure. Hey, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all take care.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the show as he does every Monday at 9:30. We'll continue to take your reaction to the Titans' win over the Panthers yesterday. But as Joe mentioned earlier, it was a wild weekend in college football on and off the field. We will discuss coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.